Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tuesdays at 1:20 mean Brandon Adams joins us from Dog Nation, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast on at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter, brought to you by RS Andrews Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. I hope the vacation was great. BA, how are you?
It was fantastic. It's also great to be back with you guys again today.
Missed a kind of a busy week with everything that was going on with the coaches' meetings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess ultimately they stayed with the same schedule. But what did you make of all the conversation about eight games and nine games and where they stayed and if may eventually they will go to nine games? What was your thought on that whole process?
Well, I think eventually the SEC needs to get there. If you're going to bring in Texas and Oklahoma, I think it'd be a shame not to have the extra conference games. You can preserve some of your secondary rivalries and also get more interesting opportunities to play teams that, you know, Georgia hasn't played a lot, like Oklahoma and like Texas. But right now the votes, I think, are just not there. Some of that's competition related, you know, teams like Kentucky and others who maybe sort of view the extra easy non-conference game as a path towards bowl eligibility. So they're kind of thinking about their own self-interest there. But I think a lot of this also kind of comes down to, you know, right now, you know, the SEC's got a media rights deal in place with ESPN, and ESPN, I think right now, is not looking to pay the SEC more money for the additional inventory of that extra week of conference games. That's good games the SEC would be essentially giving away for free if it doesn't get more money from ESPN. So I think some of this is posturing, it's negotiation, and it's done with the hopes that one more year of, I think Greg Sink used the word on-ramp, one more year of on-ramp here maybe gives them a chance to see if ESPN wants to pony up a little bit more cash for the benefit of having some better games on its TV schedule.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, yep. And B.A., the thing about it, and we were talking, because they usually have the who voted what. And, of course, Georgia, they voted, they voted to have the nine games. But Alabama, Nick Saban, how much of an influence do you think he had on the fact that he still wanted to be at eight?
Well, I think there are other schools that probably wanted to be at eight more than Alabama did, but I think this is a weird example of something we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I was with y'all, is that Nick Saban has a nasty habit of kind of being on both sides of every issue. He's very comfortable kind of taking seemingly contradicting opinions. You know, in the past, for years, Saban's been an open proponent of a nine-game SEC conference slate. Now they have a chance to actually vote on that, and Alabama, we're told, voted against it. It would make me raise an eyebrow about what's going on in Tuscaloosa right now if they don't feel like they need to be playing more SEC games. I don't know. That'd make me a little bit nervous if I was a Crimson Tide fan, I believe.
We were having a conversation earlier about the benefit of the doubt that just different coaches get, programs get, whatever. And obviously, Nick Saban in Alabama has earned that. And when you listen to some, we're getting into prediction season. I know the SEC Media Days is still about a month away, but that's when everyone makes their conference predictions and all that kind of stuff. So we're on the verge of that. But when people predict Alabama to be champion still, I think a lot of that still has to do with benefit of the doubt because of track record. Like, is this a year where if things don't go Alabama's way, like if they don't get back to the playoff or national championship or whatever, some of that benefit of the doubt starts to erode a little bit?
Well, gosh, you'd hope so. I mean, how many years do they have to come up short before people realize it's not the way it used to be? I mean, it seems like for Georgia that it's way easier for Georgia to actually win a national championship than it is to be predicted in the preseason to win a national championship. It seems like even after back-to-back titles, they haven't earned a lot of that sort of preseason respect. As you said, Alabama still sort of gets it. And to a certain extent, I kind of get why that is. But when you hear a guy like Kirk Herbstreit, as he did last week, kind of make the case of, oh, just when you count Alabama out, that's when they're the most dangerous. But literally, he said the same exact stuff a year ago. That proved to be wrong, and to kind of drag out that same tired argument again. And by the way, he's not the only one that does stuff like this. He just may be the most prominent example. But when you drag out these same tired arguments of, oh, gosh, nobody is paying enough attention to Alabama, Nick Saban's got something up his sleeve. Well, going on 2 years now, that hasn't quite been the case. And the only recent national championship they won was a pandemic title in 2020 when the sport was a very different version of itself than what it's kind of been before then or since then. So, yeah, I think some of the love for Nick Saban and Alabama in the moment is kind of like real-time nostalgia that, frankly, I think is probably past its expiration date.
What about this this recruiting thing? I saw some people tweeted, somebody sent it to me about Georgia lost a big-time recruit. And I was like, we can't have them all, B.A. I know we want them all, but – like, there are some instances where, like,
the linebacker?
I saw the boys going to Clemson. Yeah. I mean, Clemson is still a frontline program.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Sammy Brown, I guess, is the reference here, the five-star out of Jefferson. It had been a battle, Georgia-Clemson. Clemson won that. I think from Georgia's standpoint here, I mean, Brown, I think, is this guy I've seen in person, is a very, very good player. It's a guy I would love for Georgia to have. I think just given the depth that Georgia has at linebacker, there are probably more important recruiting battles that Georgia's going to fight in this 2024 cycle, but that's not to take anything away from Brown as a player. I think he's sensational, and I think that Clemson, comes in state, which they often do, and get a hard-fought win here. So sometimes you dust yourself off. Georgia did get a commitment today from a four-star defensive lineman, so clearly they're not reeling too much here from all of this. But sometimes, somebody comes in and gets a player from you, and that's what happens. And so Georgia lives to fight on in, other ways, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
can't have them all.
Sometimes five stars are going to go to other schools too. Some
others. As hard as this to imagine, not everybody wants to play Georgia. Yeah. As hard as that would be for some Georgia fans to imagine, I guess that kind of is true.
Maybe even, they want to play there, but they see a path to the field faster or something like that. Maybe the NIL money. Who knows? There's a lot of different factors at play right now. Brandon Adams joining us from Dog Nation, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. So, again, as we sort of enter into this prediction season, and you're right. I heard it on your podcast yesterday or this morning from yesterday was Georgia has become better at winning national championships than they have been at being predicted to win national championships because here we are two in a row and we're still talking about teams or other teams getting picked. Is there a way for them not to be picked? Like, is there an analyst's way of not picking them that is respectful? Like, or is it just disrespectful if you don't pick Georgia to win the national championship this year?
Well, I would say, short answer, there's always going to be a valid argument for someone else other than Georgia, right? So, this is not one of those things where there's only one valid argument here. I would acknowledge there are valid arguments to be made for somebody else. But I think the problem with, trying to, logically justify a pick of someone else other than Georgia, it requires you to do two things. You have to make the case that, oh, my gosh, Georgia's going to be doomed without Stetson Bennett. But there's a certain irony to that because we heard a whole bunch of pundits 2 years ago to say that Georgia couldn't win a national championship with Stetson Bennett. And now some of those same guys want to tell us that Georgia can't win a national championship without Stetson Bennett. There's a weird irony to all of that. And if you want to make a big deal of, well, Georgia lost Jalen Carter and Georgia lost Christopher Smith and Georgia lost this, the tough, logic with that is that Georgia lost even more off its 2021 roster and came back, won the national championship in 2022. So there's nothing wrong with trying to make a valid case for somebody else winning the national championship. But given the way that Georgia's performed, I think the building blocks of logic that would require you to make that argument, Georgia, to its credit, has made those kinds of things very tough, just given the way that it's won the last two titles.
When you look at the SEC as a whole, and we know they got one more year or two, you get Texas and Oklahoma in. When you look out west, I know we were talking about Alabama, benefit of the doubt, but there's just something about me that's saying LSU might, because of the quarterback situation, B.A., and they might have the best defensive player in America on that squad, and we don't know who the hell's playing quarterback at Alabama. Would you maybe give LSU maybe right now, not saying that, you won't change your mind in August, a little bit of a head start on them in the west?
I think LSU is the most under-discussed team in all of college football right now. I absolutely think that LSU is a legitimate playoff team. If you're looking at two teams in the SEC making the playoff, I think it's far more likely to be Georgia and LSU than it is Georgia and Alabama. I think that LSU has two quarterbacks better than anything on Alabama's roster right now. We know about Jaden Daniels when he's healthy. We know how good he can be.
Right.
But when you look at Garrett Nussmeier, who's, I guess, technically speaking, the backup there,
right.
If Alabama had Garrett Nussmeier right now, everybody in Tuscaloosa would be turning cartwheels.
Right.
LSU's got two quarterbacks, I believe, better than anything Alabama has. You mentioned Harold Perkins on defense. I think he's obviously a great player there as well. And that week one game where LSU plays Florida State, the game's in Orlando this year. You know, last year that was a really good game, and both those teams turned out to be better than we thought. There's a chance that one of the best games of the entire season happens week one between Florida State, who I also believe is a legitimate playoff team, or at least a playoff contending team this year, and LSU. It's a lot of fun, and I do think that LSU probably thus far, kind of at the expense of Alabama, who I believe is slightly overrated, I think LSU, you know, won the West a year ago in Brian Kelly's first year. I believe that's a truly underrated team at the moment.
Hey, B, I like the point you made about sort of the irony of people saying now, well, Stetson's gone, so they can't do it, when the whole argument when he was there was they can't do it with Stetson.
Hell yeah.
That's a great point. Does the fact that they – like, that was the reality, and people thought that for, you know, for reasons. He watched him play and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, he disproved all of that. But, like, winning with him and now he's gone – does him being him and replacing him make you feel a little bit more comfortable with the process of replacing him versus some other schools, say Alabama, who lost Bryce Young and all of that? Like, does Georgia's replacement process at quarterback make you feel comfortable?
Well, I think it does, just from the standpoint that Georgia is a less quarterback dependent team than other programs are. But I think it's also possible to get the Bennett conversation wrong on both sides. You can be the national media person who kind of comes heavy handed and says, Georgia's going to have a difficult time replacing Stetson Bennett. But you can also be the Georgia fan who I think sometimes thinks that the bar of being as good as Stetson, because maybe of how Stetson was kind of viewed to be previous, you know, whatever else, is somehow going to be easier to clear, because you think, well, look at Carson Beck's skill set, and there was sort of this baked-in notion about what Stetson Bennett was. So I think it can be easy for the national media types to overrate the difficulty of replacing Stetson Bennett. But I also think it's possible for Georgia fans, if they're not careful, to kind of, you know, also assume that it's going to be easier than it actually is.
Right. Yeah, like, don't play into it and detract what Stetson did by saying, oh, it's just Stetson. Yeah. Look at that dude.
Absolutely.
Was a Heisman finalist.
Absolutely.
And won a lot of football games.
Absolutely.
B.A., we appreciate it. Thank you.
Fun to be with you guys as always. Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.